Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to worship at First Baptist Church of Roswell. We are so glad that you have joined us here, either in person or online, for worship this morning. What a wonderful day it is to be here together. I hope you have had a great weekend, but I doubt you have had as good of a weekend as these folks right over here. You might see some matching t-shirts over here. Our youth have had their Disciple Now weekend. I've heard rumors of bedtimes at 3 a.m., 4 a.m., so keep an eye out over here this morning for any shenanigans. But we are so glad you're here. What a wonderful thing this was for our youth, and great time to be here together. If you're a guest with us here this morning, we want to extend a special word of welcome to you. If you would take one of the connection cards in the pew rack in front of you, fill it out, place it in the offering plate when it comes by later. That would help us to have a record of your attendance, just to make sure that we can reach out later this week, let you know how glad we are that you visited with us today. You'll see in your announcement sheet, there is a lot going on right now, so be sure to check all those out, but I'm going to highlight just a few of them. Don't forget that we have a church conference tonight. This is one of our quarterly business meetings where we will come together, hear reports from various committees, including from the Pastor Search Committee. Hope you can be here tonight at 6:45 in this room for our church conference. Also, today is the first day that we are starting our host week for Family Promise. If you don't know, this ministry is a wonderful ministry that hosts temporarily homeless families in our buildings this week. And so if you have a moment right after worship, we will be unloading some supplies directly following worship today. Hope you can make it and help us with that. Any needs to help get set up for this week. I also want to introduce someone, a new person special to us this morning. If I could ask Josh Rao to come up and join us. Josh is a first-year student at McAfee School of Theology at Mercer University. And this weekend, he had a trial by fire as starting with us as our new youth ministry associate. So we are so grateful to have him. He's a wonderful guy. You're going to love getting to know him. He got to hang out with our youth all weekend in Bible study, playing top golf, all sorts of things. So a lot of wonderful things that you're going to want to know about Josh. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask that at the end of the worship service, if he will make his way over right over to this wall and come by, get to know him afterwards. So many of you know, if you're new in our building, you might have trouble finding your way around. He's already gotten lost on his first day here. So when I told him I'm going to have you go over to greet people, he said, in the same room? I said, yes, same room. So Josh, we are so excited that you are here. Be sure to introduce yourself later. We're looking forward to having you in our youth ministry. It's going to be wonderful. That way, after worship. Now we come together for worship this morning. Today is a special day as we will take communion together. If you are watching with us online, we encourage you to find your communion elements at home so you can participate with us at that part of the service. God is with us right now in this very room. Come, let us worship God together.
Would you pray with me? Our most heavenly Father, we thank you so much for community. And this morning, we join together in a prayer of gratitude. Father, we thank you so much for the promise that we are never alone, that you are with us everywhere we go. And even during those seasons of life when we feel like we can't go on, you are there to carry us. So, Father, as we reflect on your comforting presence that binds us together, we acknowledge that we as a community share this journey together. Father, we pray that you will help us to love one another with kindness and your peace, knowing that your presence is ever with us. For we ask this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
This morning. So today is a special day because we are celebrating communion. So right over here on this table, you see these trays, and they're gold because there's something very special inside. And so in just a little bit, we're going to pass these trays, and there's wafers in there and grape juice. Now I know it sounds like, well, we're having a snack in the middle of worship, but this is so much more than a snack because is a symbol of what Jesus did for us. So a long time ago, before Jesus died, he was eating a meal with the disciples. And he took the bread at the meal and he broke it. And he said that this is my body broken for you. Whenever you eat this bread, remember me. So it was still bread, but whenever they ate it, they would remember what Jesus was going to do for them. And then he took the cup, and he said thanks for it. He blessed it. And then he told them that whenever they drank it, to do it and remember him. So sometimes we have very special times of communion when we remember what Jesus did for us. Because Jesus died on the cross, and defeated sin and death and proved once and for all that God's love is stronger than anything else in this world. Now, we are not perfect. Sometimes we do the wrong thing, and we need to be forgiven. But God always forgives us. All we have to do is ask. And God always wants to be your friend. And so each time that we celebrate communion, we remember what Jesus did for us, and we remember how very great God's love is for us. So today is a very special day. Today we remember Jesus and we celebrate. Let's pray. Loving God, thank you so much for Jesus. Help us to remember that Jesus died and rose from the dead to show us just how great your love is for us. Lord, we are so thankful that you always want to be our friend. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
It is a good and holy thing to recognize those among us that God has called to serve God's people. And today we have the great honor of recognizing Suzanne Ivy, our church pianist, for her dedication and service for the past 25 years. Suzanne, would you join me at the pulpit, please? While Suzanne makes her way over here, I thought it might be interesting for you to know a couple stats and facts that have happened in Suzanne's time here as our pianist. Over her 25 years, she has at least played for 1,300 worship services. That's just at 11 o'clock a.m. That doesn't count 8:30 and Sunday night and countless programs and performances. She has probably played over 1 million songs on that piano over there. And she has probably played 100 bajillion notes on that piano as well. This year, on January 1st, we marked the high milestone of Suzanne's 25th year, starting back in 1999. And if you're like me, it seems odd to believe that 1999 was that long ago. But as the story goes, as told to me by one of our former ministers of music and music associate, Tyler and Mary Ann, not too long after Suzanne and David Ivy came to First Baptist Roswell, she had kept it a closely guarded secret that she knew how to play the piano. And she worked fearlessly to keep it that way. Well, her greatest fear was unleashed because somehow somebody spilt the beans and Tyler found out that she could play the piano. And it just went downhill from there. Tyler had asked if Mary Ann could use her down in the children's music, and so Suzanne graciously volunteered to work. This was before she joined our staff and worked with the first grade children's choir with Mary Ann. And then when Tyler needed an accompanist up in the youth department, up at the youth choir, Suzanne graciously stepped up and got a little promotion maybe up there with that, you know. And then since the stepping down of our former church pianist, Tyler knew right where to go and ask if Suzanne would join the team. And the rest is living history. As it's written, Suzanne has graced us with her musical and technical ability on the piano in company not just our children, but our youth and our adults on countless services and special occasions and somber moments to remember loved ones that have gone before us. She's played preludes and solo pieces and duets, and she's led us faithfully and excellently in worship all along the way, offering us steadfast and a faithful presence here amongst our congregation. In the years that I've come to know Suzanne, I've come to know her not just because of her talent and her musicality, and not just because on the rare and wrong occasion that I do put something in front of her in the moment, she can still play it because she's that good, sight unseen. So, yeah, you are. Don't be modest here. Don't be modest. Suzanne's grace and charm, her gentle presence is a faithful and dedicated servant to our church, someone whose candor I can rely on, and a partner in ministry that we have come to find invaluable and so needed at our congregation. As Tyler said it this way, of her years, she has been as kind and joyful and dependable and a steadfast servant to the Lord as anyone will find, and we are blessed by her. In Suzanne's spare time, if you didn't know this, that, or I should say her real job, is she is a music educator running her own piano studio. And over the years, she has trained the next generation of musicians and pianists and worship leaders. And she hosts her recitals annually here at our church. And many of you all have been the great benefit of her work because your students, your family, your children have been a part of Suzanne's work. And you've seen the labors of her love and her patience and her grace for all of those that she teaches. Beyond her role in music at our church, she served on numerous committees and search committees, and most notably, Suzanne was called and elected as our first female chair of the deacon ministry in 2001, a pivotal statement in our congregation's affirmation of women in leadership, and I can think of no finer person to lead that than to set the example for the rest of us. Suzanne's more than just our pianist. Suzanne is one of us. At First Baptist Roswell, through the years, we are at our best because Suzanne has been at her best and walked alongside us every step of the way. Suzanne, to you, we say amen, we say congratulations, we say thank you, and we say thanks be to God for you. Arnold Eves, the chair of the personnel committee, will come now to make another special presentation.
Chair of the Personnel Committee, I prepared a few remarks talking about Suzanne's wonderful work among us and what it involved, but David did that. I also wanted to say something about her rich background and musicality, and David did that. So, I am reminded of a very fine music teacher once who told me that the only thing you have to do to play the piano or the organ well is hit the right notes. For 25 years, Suzanne's been hitting the right notes for us here at First Baptist. And in recognition of your first 25 years, we are sharing an envelope with something in it for you in recognition of your wonderful work and ministry here at First Baptist. But not just that, this is a token of what these people here think about you and through their gifts have provided this. So we thank you for being a part of our staff.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Usually my job is to sit at the piano and keep my mouth shut, but occasionally I feel it's important to say something. I feel very fortunate to play the piano for a church that appreciates music so much. I also feel very fortunate that I was able to work for over 18 years with the Tylers. It was a wonderful time. And then I got to start working with Jane Martin, who is such a fine musician and a very good friend. Then along came David. David, and I mean that in a positive way. David is one of the most enthusiastic people that I know, and he's done a wonderful job of leading our choir, and he's also one of the hardest working people I know. You have no idea how much time he spends planning services and try to do an appropriate service and something that you will be blessed by, and we are beholden to him for that. I also cannot forget the wonderful choir, that I play for each week, and the choir that is always so kind and willing to sing and do what is needed. I am truly blessed to be part of the music ministry at First Baptist Roswell. Thank you so much.
Good morning. My name is Zeke Stevenson, and I have had the honor this weekend to serve as the speaker for the Disciple Now weekend for our youth. We often hear it say that the children and the youth are the future of the church. Well, let me just say, this group of teenagers sitting over here, they are the church. They led in worship. They added to a rich discussion that was had. And it's my hope that not only did they grow closer to each other, but they grew in their relationship with God. Our theme this weekend was never alone. We talked about how loneliness is a common feeling. A feeling that we all have now and again. Sometimes it's a fleeting moment. Sometimes it's a season of life that we experience. But in that loneliness, God is always with us. God is our companion and God is our friend. And God walks that journey of loneliness with us. We also talked about how our community is important. In those feelings and in those times of being lonely, we can rely on each other. And we can find God in the faces of our family and of our friends. And God doesn't want us to keep that gift to ourselves. God wants us to share that gift with others. So just as Jesus practiced a radical hospitality, we too are called to share that same hospitality with every single person that we encounter, because we don't know what people might be experiencing in their lives. So we have an opportunity to help someone break out of that cycle of loneliness by welcoming them into our community. It was a true joy to be with these students this weekend. I was a student minister for 8 years before I moved into the nonprofit ministry world, and it was really, really, really good to be back in a room with a bunch of teenagers and sense and feel their excitement to be together. It was a great weekend, and I hope that you will take time to have an intentional conversation with these students about what they learned. Thank you again for having me. It was a true, true honor to be here.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come here today to praise you and glorify your name and to commune with you. Help us to hear your voice, whether it's grand like thunder or still and small like a whisper. Help us to respond to you, giving ourselves our time, talents, and possessions as we bring our tithes and offerings. Bless them and guide us to use them to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Those among us today where this may be your first Sunday with us, you're thinking there's a lot of celebrating going on here. And that would be true, except for I've been here long enough to tell you this church loves to celebrate every Sunday, which I think is a hallmark of a healthy congregation. When we can look around us and say, God is good, and here is how we are evidencing God's goodness among us. Suzanne, congratulations. Good to see your family surrounded with you, celebrating with you. So welcome to First Baptist Church, and a home for all of us to be together. I know with our celebration class, there are many medal winners today who competed over the weekend with Special Olympics, so congratulations to those that are bearing the accomplishments of a good weekend. Much to celebrate. Josh, we're glad you're here. No pressure that you are with this church where I happen to serve in this capacity, but we're delighted to have you with us. That segues, I think, kind of nicely as we move to this series, and in particular today's question. You see, I was sitting here thinking, and I'm not biasing the moment by pointing out that Jessica, a graduate of the Mercy University's McAfee School of Theology, Zeke coming and sharing with the young people this weekend, is also a graduate of the School of Theology. Josh is a first-year student with the School of Theology, and I'm so grateful in this capacity. But what I really want to point out is not a shameless commercial for the Mercer University McAfee School of Theology, but I'd like to kind of turn it around and point it to you. Because years ago, you believed in a vision that who will answer God's call for future generations. And so whether it's McAfee or that other school in Texas, or there's one in other places, the point is God summoned, and in the capacities that we had at the time, both then and now, we answer. And we answer every single Sunday. This season of Epiphany, I've been approaching the series with when God asks the question, believing that both in the Old Testament canon and the New Testament canon, God is asking questions, and our responses can shape how we engage the walk that God has called us, that can also change lives, change our communities, and change our world. I invite you, brothers and sisters in Christ, to listen along to the reading of Scripture from Isaiah chapter 6. And though our focal passage will be in the verses 7 through 8 and 9, I would like to share with you the earlier verses also. Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and the whole earth is full of the glory." The pivots on the thresholds shook at the voices of those called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, I am lost. I am a man of unclean lips. I live among people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. And the seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I. Send me." May God bless the reading and hearing of this His holy word. Let us pray. As we open the doors of the church, O Lord, in this time of worship, we pray now you all the more open our minds that we may think critically with the mind of Christ. Open our hearts that we may love compassionately with the love of Christ. Open our lives that we may serve in the very presence of Christ. For we offer this prayer in the name of Christ. Amen. So 3 weeks ago, we listened to the question of God in Genesis to Adam, "Where are you?" 2 weeks ago, we listened to the question posed to Cain, "Where is your brother?" Last week, we engaged the book of Job, where the question was, "Where were you?" And today we hear a new question. This time God is asking the question in the presence of Isaiah, and this question is surrounded by drama, a vision of God filling the temple. Angels called seraphs are flitting in and out of the place. Smoke has filled the capacity of the temple. The very presence of God is spilling out all over the place. It's as if KISS has shown up for a concert at the State Farm Arena. Everything is shaking. The room is electric. And the question that God poses, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Who will go for us? It's the call of a grateful nation that asks of men and women in times of peril and war, who will go for us? It's the call issued when a job needs to be done and no one wants to do it. Who will go for us? It's the call that this very church issues when we're inviting people to dare to stretch beyond their comfort zones and do something audacious for God's sake. Who will go for us? It's the invitation that is bigger than our mightiest militaries, grander than our ambitions, and larger than our imaginations. Now, a pastor friend of mine once quipped that we Baptists like to engage the question, "Here I am, send somebody else." So send the preacher. That's what we pay him for. Send the missions committee. Don't they care about causes? Send a check. That ought to cover things for a while. But this is a personal question. And although it's posed to this prophet Isaiah, I can't help but believe it's our kind of question too. Where deep down we find ourselves wrestling with the question posed to us, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And notice how Isaiah responds. Here am I. Now, you know, there's actually a bit of a difference between Isaiah's response and, say, Samuel. Samuel, when he was called of God in the temple, said, "Here I am." To respond, "Here I am," is a response of, "This is where I am. This is my location. This is where I stand. This is my position. Here I am." Now, that's usually where we relate with responses. We have no problem stating positions. Tribalism and identity politics are at a fevered pitch these days. Here I am, a Republican. Here I am, a Democrat. Here I am, a Baptist, a Catholic, a Presbyterian. Here I am, a conservative, liberal, confused, confident. Here I am, and we post it on Facebook. Here I am, and we picture it on Instagram. Here I am, if you're up to speed with things, it's on TikTok. Here I am. We have no trouble talking about our positions. The question that God asks, who will go for us, is actually not concerned with positions. The loud voice in the temple is not asking Isaiah, "So tell me, Isaiah, where do you stand with Israel in the northern kingdom politics compared and contrasted to Judah in the southern kingdom politics?" Which, by the way, if you know your Old Testament history, is precisely the political problem that Isaiah was prophesying within. God doesn't need to know Isaiah's position here. But it's often easier to answer questions that you can let people know where you stand on the position. Where do you stand? I remember when I think it was Ahmaud Arbery was murdered down in South Georgia. And in that moment, I felt very keenly vulnerable on behalf of my neighbors in my cul-de-sac. Many of y'all know I live just up Howes Road, just a few miles away. So I'm going to just go on and say it here, give you something to talk about at lunch. I put a Black Lives Matter sign in my yard. Because, again, I felt very vulnerable for my neighbors of color. Now, the HOA, it's always the HOA. we don't do political signs in our yards. I said, well, it's not political. I argued a little bit, but I get it. I get it. We want to tell people where we stand. We fly flags, we display ribbons, we tweet about it, we go to marches and rallies, we chant slogans, we write articles, we even have lapel pins. I forgot mine today, declaring the positions that this is where I stand. And don't misunderstand me. Many times this is really important. Over 500 years ago, Martin Luther, being tried for heresy after nailing the 95 Theses on the Wittenberg door, he defended the accusations of heresy before the Pope, stating, "Here I stand, I cannot do otherwise." Oh, we do need to know where we stand on things in this world. No question about it. But God's question today is not concerned with position. Isaiah gives us a nod to this in the response. The question before us is more probing. Who will go for us? Isaiah answers, "Here am I." Isaiah's reply is not stating a position, but declaring a possession. God needs to know, are you willing to go with me and for us? You see, we like God better as a noun. You remember learning about nouns, person, place, or thing. And when you can make God exclusively a noun, what do you do with God? You're placing God in a tangible position that, according to the commandments, is a graven image and a no-no. God is noun, so don't misunderstand me. But theologians remind us that God is also verb. The call of Isaiah and the call of First Baptist Roswell is at its core our call. Anybody can state a position, but God is asking, what about you? The "here I am" moves to "here am I." Don't get me wrong, many people in Scripture have responded that the presence of God, rather the positioning with God, is legitimized, Samuel just being one of them. But Isaiah's voice echoes the voice of Mary. We're not that far removed from Advent, right? Mary said the identical same response. "Here am I. God, I don't know about this mess of this world. I don't know about what you're inviting me to do. I don't fully understand the problems before us. They are complex and difficult and oftentimes nuanced." I want to also speak confessionally here. There are plenty of things in the trajectory of my ministry which, if I had a go back to do, I'd say, you know, I think I was wrong about that. But here I am, sounds good, feels good. We can place it in concrete and look at it and celebrate it. But Isaiah is responding that maybe God's on the move. And maybe my response is as much a response to join with God wherever God is going. The young people get together over a weekend and they talk about God. But it's not just about God in the weekend, but where God is calling them and taking them. And we gather here and we exchange ideas, we talk politics, we argue, we debate, we even divide from time to time. I mean, we're Baptists, for goodness sake. But at the end of the day, the call is, but who will go for me? Whom shall I send? It's moving from the nuance of a position to a possession where one's entire orientation is wherever God may be taking. What will you do when God summons you? Now, yes, for some of us, we walk down aisles and we say, "I think I'm being called into ministry." And we work with young people, we work with music, we work with children and families. We work behind pulpits. We work with pastoral care and counseling. Yeah, that's one way. And it's a legitimate way. But for the rest of us, the call of God is still the same. whom shall I send? Who will go for us? For God's sake, who will go for us? You could say it began with a meal, where Jesus, on the night of his betrayal, when he'd already done all the preaching and teaching, you know, if you want to be one of my followers, you got to be last. You want to serve me, you got to bear the cross. In fact, you got to see it all the way through, to the extent that later on Peter actually denies knowing this man named Jesus. So at the table, Jesus invited the disciples. And after giving thanks, he took the bread and he broke it and he shared it among them. He said, "Take and eat, for this is my body, which is broken for you." Scripture also reminds us that he took the cup and he shared it among his disciples and said, "Take and drink, for this is the new covenant for the forgiveness of sins." In a moment, the deacons will serve us our bread, our cup. You, as individuals, have that precious opportunity to also serve your neighbor the bread and the cup. In the collective reminder that we're all figuring out how we will answer the summons of God. Now, if you want to stick with the position, stay put in church. We'll see you again next week. But if you want to engage the Holy Spirit of being sent, while we're always about going, let us pray together. Bread and cup, O Lord, Scripture and music and proclamation, fellowship and positioning, we give you thanks. But now, Holy Spirit, come and capture us in a way that we may be nourished for the journey. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
We hold our lamp and send us.
body of Christ broken for you. Take and eat in remembrance of him. Cup of Christ shed for our salvation. Scripture tells us that as often as we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. And so as we prepare for our hymn of response, how will you respond to God's summons, God's call, God's question in your life and for this church? Here am I. Let us stand together. Let us sing together, and let us respond together. God shows up to you today or this week, my prayer is that we would find the discernment within each of us, both collectively by being part of this church family, by through the waters of baptism and our original confession, that we would respond to God's call, God's summons, and discover how God is at work in this waiting world. May it be so now and forevermore. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance and give you his peace. Amen.